Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Burning the Quran, presidential candidates warning America that Satan has her in his crosshairs. Oh, and Mr. Fair Share, Fair Shot, everybody's got to do their part. You know, and this bit about you're on your own, economics has never worked. Obama's the left's clutch, disengaging America out of the free market gear in order to shift us into the Marxist gear. What you're hearing is the grinding of the gears as they attempt to shift the paradigm into reverse. You're going to love your brain massage today, so get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
What does the reaction among Afghani Muslims to the inadvertent burning of some trash Qurans say to us about that religion? First, consider what reaction I'm talking about and to what it is they're reacting. According to General Allen, commander of the ISAF, that's the International Security Assistance Force, some NATO personnel improperly disposed a large number of religious materials, including Qurans. That's quote unquote. By improperly disposed is meant that I think four or five Qurans with some extremist slogans scrawled on them were thrown into the trash can for incineration. Some Afghan workers at the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan discovered a few singed copies. At least that's what they say. The matter is under investigation. And so far, no NATO forces that I know about have stepped forward and confessed to having tossed the Qurans into the burn pit. At this point, friends, we're not even sure they did it. We don't know yet whether these Afghan workers, in the name of Allah, did not stage this whole thing. It's been known to happen. However, as soon as the, the noble Afghan people, use the word noble two or three times, always with a tone of a sincere reverence, the noble Afghan people. Of course, he might have been emphasizing this in order to differentiate the truly noble Afghanis, and I'm sure there are some, from the insane morons who ran into the streets immediately without waiting for any investigation to take place, without anything more than the accusation that ISAF personnel burned their holy book. They immediately go completely nuts. They start shooting people, they do that without much provocation, blaming all Westerners. Kill them all, they say, they cry, calling death to America, death to all Americans. This is nonsense. I'm sick of this nonsense. Okay, you're visiting Afghanistan with your children, let's just say. And of course, no sane person would do that, but let's just say you're an American and you're visiting one of these countries controlled by these crazy, insane morons, and some idiot does burn a Quran. Let's just say. You know what I mean? Let's just say that actually happens. So these crazy, idiotic, insane, wicked, foolish, ridiculous, nonsensical maniacs kill your kid. Yeah, why? Because somebody you don't even know, never heard of, never met, burned their holy book. These people are not noble. There is nothing noble about this behavior. And the Afghan people the noble Afghan people ought to rise up and make that clear. They go ballistic over a book burning and then start killing people. They're more nonsensical than that. They start killing totally innocent people that have nothing to do with it. And not only that, these ridiculous, crazy people are burning their own cities, charging en masse, the military bases calling for war. All of this because somebody said ISAF personnel burned some of their holy books. No proof yet. No investigation. No chance to get the facts. Just insane, screaming, crazy maniacs. Oh, man. At this point, I don't know if any of our soldiers were even involved in it. I don't even know if it was done maliciously or inadvertently, as it seems to be the case if it was done. I don't know if these Afghan workers did not plant these singed Qurans in the rubbish at Bagram Air Base. But in the worst case scenario, and that would be that an American soldier or two got together and said, let's just throw this stupid book into the trash and burn it. Okay, let's just say that did happen. Does that justify starting riots in the street, exposing their own children and ours to death? I'm looking at pictures here of kids all beat up and bloody, Afghan kids beat up and bloody, having been trampled on by his own neighbors massing in the streets to throw rocks in a maniacal rage at whoever. Oh, man. This is insane behavior. There's absolutely nothing noble about this behavior. I began this by asking a question. What does the fact that before any investigation has been completed, and really, even if after the investigation is completed, and even if it is discovered that, in fact, a few wise guys decided to violate protocols and insult Allah, this behavior is inexcusable. It is nonsense. 12 killed today. That's Friday, by the way, when I'm putting the show together. Killed. 12 human beings killed over this. Two of our soldiers killed the other day. Shot by an Afghan idiot who, on an insane rampage over this report, took out the lives of two of our finest. It's just a report, by the way, that some ISAF personnel burned the Quran. The mentality here is bad news. What's a greater crime? Burning a holy book or killing someone who had nothing to do with it? What a bunch of heathen. Lawless, perverse, crazy maniacs. Hey, you think I'm overstating this? All right. Okay, how about if it's your soldier? How about your son, your daughter, who was shot and killed by some crazy maniac all in a rage because somebody you don't know, never heard of, burned his holy book? Okay, so one of these crazies comes to your home, let's say, drags you. No, better. One of these nuts comes to your house, drags your kid into the street, shoots him in the head, and explains he did it because someone burned his holy book. Well, who burned your holy book? Oh, I don't know. Somebody from your country. So I'm killing your kid. I'm telling you, this is nonsense. Karzai owes us an apology. These crazy people think we, the entire United States, owe them an apology because somebody acted like this? And so that the entire United States of America is culpable for the alleged actions of a few who disobeyed our laws or whatever? Even if they did this thing, acted contrary to our policy, and yet they don't recognize in that same thinking that they therefore owe us an even greater apology for killing people who had nothing to do with it? And threatening to kill civilians and exposing their own children to being trampled on in their madness. All of them innocents who had nothing to do with it. Bow and scrape president-elect out there bowing and scraping to these nut jobs. I agree with Newt. It's a mistake to do that. All that should be said is that the matter is under investigation and appropriate correction will be taken if it is learned that any of our soldiers acted in violation of our policies or laws. And then, Mr. Karzai and the Afghan people, we're standing by to hear you apologize for this rioting, raging, and attacking of American citizens and soldiers over something we're not even sure has happened. Like I said, this began with a question. What does the response of so many thousands of Afghanis to this report of a Quran burning say about them? It tells us these people are irrational, raging morons. It confirms what the Bible said about them thousands of years ago in a prophecy concerning Ishmael to Ishmael's mother Hagar. Quote, "He shall be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him," end quote. Yeah. That's Genesis 16, verse 12, by the way. And also, this angel told Hagar that from Ishmael would come a multitude of these people. Lord have mercy. What we see going on in Afghanistan right now is part of the effort to undo all the work that has been accomplished over there and to give Obama the excuse he needs to pull us out entirely. We better pay attention. And of course, I know not all Afghanis are the same, but let the Afghanis who are noble, and there are many of them, stand up and denounce this nonsense. Let's put a stop to it. I was looking at a map the other day that shows the position of our military installations in the Mideast. Now, I'm getting excited. It's not a secret intel. Anyone could create a map. These bases aren't secret. They're not hidden. Not like the ones that are operating in Venezuela by Iran. The ones operating in Venezuela and Mexico. Yeah. I noticed that we've got Iran almost completely surrounded, and every major ground supply route into Iran is covered. That is interesting. Iran has stepped up their activity in the Caspian, and the Caspian is their direct connection with Russia and China, by the way. China, Russia, and Iran, all getting cozy with one another. The three ribs in the mouth of the bear, called to rise and devour much flesh. A little prophecy lingo there. It's a brilliant move on our part, by the way. That is on the part of those here in America who understand the situation developing in Iran, who know that at some point Iran is going to have to be dealt with. The present occupier of the White House, O-W-H, spells OW as an ouch. Anyway, seems determined to make us vulnerable, just as vulnerable as he can before he's evicted. Reducing our nuclear arms by 80%, pulling us out of Iraq with plans to accelerate our withdrawal from Afghanistan, pressuring Israel not to take on Iran's nuclear ambitions. And they're, 6 weeks out, I understand? Are you paying attention? When the so-called Arab Spring was, springing, it was uncanny to me how Obama seemed to calculate his responses so that they ultimately favored the Muslim Brotherhood against American interests. Wherever intervention might have secured genuine liberty, you know, of the Western variety, well, he balked, hesitated. You know, but whenever it began to become clear that the Muslim Brotherhood had an interest in this thing and would likely get an advantage, well, all of a sudden he got interested in intervening. And if you, I tried to point this out as it was happening. I hope you paid attention. When Iran's protests were rising, you know, he refused to get involved. Remember that? He would not even make a statement in support of the people attempting to shake off the brutal oppression of the Khomeinis. And then in Syria, with Assad murdering hundreds, even thousands of those protesting his effrontery against human rights, Obama says as little as he can get by with. Look, this is getting serious, my friends. We can't afford to continue moving in this direction before it becomes too late to recover from this nosedive and to regain a position to defend our liberties and ourselves. Okay, my friends, it's time to take a short break. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. So, Santorum gave a speech at a Catholic university in 2008 in which he said he believes America is in the crosshairs of Satan. The MSM have gone berserk over this. Something occurred to me while I watched the bizarre reaction to this from the MSM that I have not heard anyone else develop. So I decided to go ahead and touch on it today in my show, even though it has that news has cooled off a bit. As you know, unless you live in a cryonic sleep, and it does appear many do, Santorum gave a speech at the Ave Maria University in Florida back in 08, and in the speech he expressed the opinion of many hundreds of thousands, even millions of persons who self-identify as Christian in this country. He said that Satan has an interest in undermining America. Well, go figure. Amazing. If you read or heard the speech, you probably found yourself agreeing with most of what he had to say. That is, if you're conservative. But even if you're progressive, you know, if you self-identify as a Christian, whether you view Satan as a figurative character representing the idea of evil or as a personal malicious antichrist spirit, you would agree with Santorum that Satan has his sights on America. Only you would say, it's evidenced by the rise of the Tea Party. My point here is that many hundreds of thousands of Americans are comfortable with references to Satan to make the point Santorum was making, and a vast majority of those would be inclined to agree with him that Satan is working to subvert America, you know, to take its power and influence and turn it to the advancement of his evil purposes in the world. But to hear the MSM speak about this, you would think... you would think he slept in holy underwear, or that he believed a guy named Joseph Smith found golden tablets inscribed with Egyptian hieroglyphics that, when translated, included rather long passages taken right out of the King James Bible. Oh, and that, or that his ability to read the hieroglyphics came from a peeping stone given to him, Moroni or something, that angel, you know, all that Mormon stuff. Calm down. I'm just telling you the truth. The point here is that it is interesting, isn't it, what specific tenets of religion the media choose to openly scorn? Well, anyway, the point is, The Satan narrative is part of the consciousness of Americans. I mean, everybody knows that Satan is the archenemy of God, the pursuer of man's soul. And of course, Chavez can call Bush a devil, and Obama and Hillary Clinton, and virtually all leftists, virtually all the Occupy Wall Street crowd, certainly their leadership, can extol the earthly wisdom of Saul Alinsky, who wrote a book giving instructions to radicals in how they could go about subverting America to Marxist communism. Yeah, and he dedicated the book to Lucifer. Yeah, Satan, the first great rebel, who by his rebellion won for himself a kingdom, Alinsky said in his dedication. Kingdom of darkness, by the way. Of course, that part was left out by Alinsky. You know, you never heard the MSM, not once, ever raise a question about so many of those on the left who identify themselves as students of Alinsky, followers of his principles, that they should follow a book dedicated to the devil? Now, we have a whole cadre of politicians in Washington today who are disciples of Alinsky. By the way, remember, who wrote a book called Rules for Radicals? In it, he explains how radicals can overturn the established order of American society and move it incrementally toward communism to join China, the Red Dragon. Isn't this interesting? Revelation 12, the great red dragon is Lucifer. Somebody said, he's calling China the devil. Anyway, the MSM never seriously questioned the fact that so many of our leftist politicians are students of Alinsky's book dedicated to Lucifer, a book that targets America for subversion to a godless antichrist system of governance. But they get really crazy, get their shorts all up in a knot, when someone running for president actually points out that it's working. The people following the teaching of a book dedicated to Lucifer are succeeding at taking America out from under God. Are you hearing this? And then they go all Islam on us. You ever notice that the nearest thing we have in America to the wild crazies of Islam is the Occupy Wall Street crowd? Think about it. Don't you find it interesting that Santorum's reference to Satan as having designs on undermining America, as founded, has sent the MSM, the Marxist socialist media, into apoplexy? But they never questioned Hilarity's thesis, done on Alinsky's book dedicated to Lucifer, or the fact that so many left-stepping Obama bots are avowed students of Alinsky, or that Obama himself taught Alinsky principles to students under his charge. It does make you think their real problem with Santorum's statement is that it outs them. Yeah, he knows what they're up to. Oh yeah, he's got their number, man. He has exposed them. They don't want a president up there who gets it. And Obama's out there saying, everybody has got to do their fair share. Everybody has got to do their part. I mean, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Yeah, you've got ears to hear? I mean, come on. Everybody deserves a fair shot. Really? And he's going to make sure they get it? How so? By taking away someone else's? And then there's this bit about you're on your own economics. He says it doesn't work. He says it never worked. Well, he's right if you're talking to the lazy ne'er-do-wells who think everybody doing their own part, their part means everybody else doing what's necessary to take care of them. This is such a bunch of Judas talk. Anybody can say this. Everybody has got to do their fair share. Well, fine. Yeah, do it. Get off your lazy rear end and study and work hard like the rest of us did. Time for you to do your part. It's so inane. Look, the question is, who's he talking to? Is he talking to the generational welfare families who've made it a career? That's to whom I'm talking. I'm talking to the people who've raised their kids on welfare and who for three or four generations have lived off of others. I'm saying it's time for you to do your fair share. It's time for you to give back to the system. And this on your own economics. Listen, how about own your own economics? The kind of economics I want. It's clear the president views Americans as dependents on government. He criticizes on your own economics as if that's some kind of a bad thing. Well, friend, that's the only kind of economics I want. I don't want government-owned economics. I want you own your own economics. Don't you understand that if it's not on your own, it won't be own your own? And when it's no longer own your own, you're owned. Maybe some of you caught my one-minute massage titled, How to Catch a Pig. You lay out some free food. The herd gathers to eat it, becomes accustomed to finding the free food, returns every day to eat. You put up one leg of fencing for a cage. Pigs notice, check it out, become comfortable with it, resume eating their food. Put up another leg of the fencing. They get used to that. Put up another. Finally, you have built a cage around the place you provide the free food. By now, the pigs have grown accustomed to the free food. let's say a few generations have passed, and this is the only way the pigs have learned that they can eat. So when they arrive and find the cage in place, the only thing they want to do is find the door to get in. And then you close the door behind them and you've caught yourself a herd of swine. It's bacon, baby. Oh, yeah. Have you not noticed that the same people doing everything they can to enlist more and more Americans into the pig pen to become dependents upon the government are the same people who say among themselves that at some point we're going to have to rid ourselves of the useless eaters. Yeah, you see, right now, the useless eaters are useful voters. And they need useful voters to give them the power they can use to take from everybody else in order to feed them. Watch the scam, my friend. It's coming down on you. And they'll continue using the power the pigs give them for the free food until they have enough power to close the gate. When enough people are dulled by their addiction to pleasure and sensuality, so they don't care when their leaders brazenly abuse the power they have given them, they don't care when they overstep the bounds of their constitutional power, so long as they do it to take from others to give to them, well, they don't care if they behave like dictators, so long as they keep feeding them in their cage. But once they get to the place they can safely ignore the Constitution, enact whatever laws they want without going through Congress, once they feel they can get away with doing whatever they want, and they've got enough Americans inside the pig pen eating their free food to support them, they're going to slam that gate closed, friend. And I think Obama's testing whether or not we're ready. The first thing that's going to happen is the wise-hearted who refuse to get seduced into the pig pen are going to rise up against them. But they got 46 million Americans secure in the pig pen already, and that number's growing every day, and they're aggressively trying to grow it. And they'll use the power these 47 million voters give them to cart the opposition off to the concentration camps or re-education camps, and in other ways, eliminate them. And then the little pigs and fat hogs are going to discover what we've been trying to tell them all along, finally. They'll turn to the idiots gathered in the pig pens and start eliminating the useless eaters among them when they have finally got complete control over all wealth and over everyone's lives. You better wake up. So please listen. If Obama can say, everybody deserves a fair shot, well, I can say nobody should be forced to pay for the mistakes and the errors and the misdeeds of others. And I can say it's wrong to steal from one person in order to give it to somebody else. And I can say it's wrong to compel a man to give up his hard-earned income to someone else against his will. That's just morally wrong. The government cannot presume to know how much someone should make, how much someone should give to others, or to whom they should give it. These are personal choices the government cannot intrude into without violating fundamental rights. And among the rights they trample upon is the right to own what you have earned. Own your own economics is the only way to have just economics. Pay attention to the president's speeches, please. He is spouting Marxist ideology. Listen, he is preaching from each according to his ability to each according to his need. The immorality of that maxim is something I explored thoroughly a while back in a series of lessons I taught on biblical economics. If you ask for it, I think I can dig it up and send it to you, an audio CD. And we've come to the place where enough pigs are gathering to their handouts of government, who are also woefully ignorant of the bloodlust history of communism, that today a candidate can actually preach communist ideology and no one seems to notice. My friends, my conservative friends, listen, you're not going to beat Obama on the economy unless you go straight at him on this point. He's preaching Marxist socialism and you need to counter it with a clear statement of the morality of own your own economics. When he slams on your own economics, someone please challenge him to explain exactly what he's trying to say. No one can survive without government. Is that his point? In America, it's never been on your own economics. Huh. We have traditionally praised God for our blessings. We have depended upon him. We have looked to God, not you, Mr. Obama, or government, for assistance from above. What is Obama saying? That didn't work? Is that what he's saying? Is Obama saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? That doesn't work without his assistance? You know, it seems in Obama's worldview, it's seek ye first the kingdom of government and vote for progressives, which, by the way, in that circle seems to be the virtual definition of what righteousness is to them. You go progressive, no matter what you do is fine. Interesting. Okay, I got to close. Look, Satan has targeted America. And the people pursuing the policies that will destroy America are following the game plan of a man named Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book to Lucifer, Satan. The book he wrote explaining how to shift America from a free market to a dictatorship market economy, from an on your own, so you own your own, under God economy, to a government owns everything and everyone economy. Santorum's got it right on. Satan has targeted America. In a recent message preached from the pulpit of the Lighthouse, I mentioned the ways the God of Nations signals to a people that he is in the process of turning a nation over to hell. Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God, Psalm 9:17. Now, not necessarily in the order in which they occur, but here are four signals that God is turning this nation over to hell. The first one's found in Romans 1:18 to 32, and it reveals that at some point God gives people over to the control of the evil they pursue. When the people turn their back on him and pursue evil, he will finally let them go. This process escalates and it continues and escalates until the people become so perverted in their natural affections they don't have any. Yeah, without natural affection. They get to the place they can't even figure out their gender. Yeah. It ends in moral anarchy, by the way. And that's the lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah, burned to the ground by fire and brimstone, turned to hell. Yeah, the second signal is when God blinds the minds of people so they believe lies that actually lead them to do the very thing that is against their own interests. Yeah, they accept irrational lies. This is brought out a couple of times in Scripture. In one place, very clearly, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, where God says he will send upon them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God, you're messing with God, you're going to get in trouble. He does this to a people who have rejected him and forsaken him. He says, okay, go ahead, go to your father of lies. He turns you over to the lie. Don't you get it? The third signal is when God turns the battlements of a nation over to its enemies. You read it in several places in Scripture, but Jeremiah 5:10 makes it clear, take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's, quote unquote. Now, you'll notice that the defenses of a nation will be lost when that nation turns from God. They will actually be turned over to their enemies. And you go back to the days of Clinton, turning our missile technology over to China, so that today they have, what, 13 or 14 nuclear warheads aimed at targets in America. And then come to today with the president alleged wanting to reduce our nuclear arsenal by 80%. What's that about? Well, the fourth signal is when God turns the wealth of a nation over to her enemies. God warned his people not to borrow from foreign nations. He said, we can lend, but don't borrow from them, Deuteronomy 15. And that is because, he told us, the borrower is servant to the lender. You know what? We are now a debtor nation. Yeah, America is in servitude to China. And that explains a lot of the politics that goes on, my friend. It's because we are now in servitude. Don't you understand? We are under divine judgment right now. But so many of you are, so many in America are addicted to pleasure and sensuality. They're not even noticing. We have passed all four markers that signal our nation is being cast off to hell. We had better turn back to God. Well, my friend, we've had it. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. I'm out of town this weekend. I'm going to meet the family of the young lady my son is engaged to marry. We're looking very much forward to that, but it will mean I'm out of town. I won't be able to take calls live. But you please call me and leave a message on our listener response hotline and give me lights on or lights off. Let me know what you think about the show. 1-888-770-8000. When I call in to get calls, what will I hear today? Lights on or lights off? Or go to thebrainmassageshow.com, thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button and send me an email. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.